following program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Handmade specialty chips in a variety of styles. Regular, lightly salted, sweet potato, vegetable mixed, dill pickle, sour cream, and chive. For more information on Route 11 Potato Chips, visit www.rt11.com.
Everybody, you're tuned in to the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son by 1 minute, Newman.
I don't mind the by 1 minute. Can we just drop the my son?
No, I like that part.
I don't like that part.
Today's show.
What about what I want?
Taxing the underground economy.
Thank you, Jack Inslee, our
executive producer and director, Jack Inslee. And our show sponsor today is
Route 11 Potato Chips.
Okay, thanks. Route 11 Potato Chips. We'll get to them in a little while, okay? Today's show, as I said, was Taxing the Underground, and we're live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. If you can't tune in live on the HeritageRadioNetwork.com, you can get our show all archived, or you can download a free podcast off our website, www.heritageradionetwork.com. We want to hear from you during the show. It's a very interesting topic. Maybe you have an opinion or a comment. Call us in at
718-497-2128.
497-2128, or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.com. I want to welcome my special guest. He's a friend of mine, and his name is Flip Scipio. Say hi, Flip.
Hello there, Radioland.
Flip is here today. He's my friend, as I said. He's also one of my clients. He's got this incredible guitar business. Want to tell us a little bit about your business? It has nothing to do with the show, but it has everything to do with me and you. Tell them about you.
Well, I repair guitars. I fix old guitars up, and I build new guitars.
So the man knows his stuff about guitars. So we're very pleased to have him today. The reason he's here today, and he's going to talk about what life is like in Amsterdam, because in the Netherlands, is it in the Netherlands or all just in Amsterdam that they tax the underground? Which is it?
It's basically the Netherlands.
It's the country.
Amsterdam is, you know, the center.
The center. So yeah. The country taxes underground economy, underground...
industries, economy.
Industries, right? And Amsterdam is the capital of the world when it comes to that. Could we think of a better place that they tax the underground than Amsterdam? I don't know of any place else. Do they?
I don't think it's legal anywhere else, is it?
Not to the degree of that.
Not to that degree, yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
So we're talking about legalizing drugs and taxing pot and other drugs. So the governments who are busted, broke, in the red, don't know where else to get any more revenue. What a great source of revenue. Tax the drug dealers, tax the potheads, and, you know, let's get the prostitutes paying their taxes, and let's get...
Well, we have legalized prostitution here in the States.
We are going to talk about
Nevada,
a couple
correct?
Of places, yep, in Nevada. So that's been a pretty successful program, and they expect that if they could put it... by the way, you know, it's only legal in the rural sections of Nevada.
Yeah, outside the cities.
And if they brought it to Las Vegas alone, it could make like $20 billion in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just take a step back and talk about the prohibition, which is pretty much the same concept that we got going on now with this movement of taxing drugs and legalizing pot. Back in the 20s, we all know a little bit of history. The government decided that alcohol should be prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
And so the president, I think it was Hoover, they signed the law and said it was...
an amendment, a constitutional amendment.
Right. And it was to reduce the amount of liquor consumed. So what did it do? It stimulated rampant underground, organized, widespread crime.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting response to prohibition. Okay?
Is it really? I feel like if there's a need and it's suppressed by the government, then someone will fill that need. And that's what happens every time. You know, someone comes up, black markets jump up because of these things.
Right. It's very, very, it makes it that much more enticing, doesn't it? Because it's illegal.
No, it's not the illegal. It's the amount of money now. You know, it raises the price for crime people.
Exactly. Right. So, alcohol was not illegal in the neighboring countries. So there was brewing going on in Canada or in Mexico and the Caribbean, and Americans either visited those countries or brought it in illegally, and they imported it, and the border between Canada and the U.S. became one of the hot spots, and Al Capone emerged from there.
All right.
Okay. And Bugsy Moran. Is that his name? Bugsy. The point is, these guys made a lot of money illegally, didn't pay any
government. You can say it now about drug dealers. There's plenty of famous drug dealers. Point. You know, it's the same concept.
That's the whole point. So they repealed it after a while, and the government went after the...
Let's talk about making money.
The government went after the little guys producing the moonshine down the south, and you know, really, what were they doing? They were going after guys who were just trying to make some money, and the government was mad because they weren't collecting any tax revenues. Exactly. So now California has passed a law where they have medicinal pot, marijuana.
Isn't that in a few
states? Colorado. I'm not sure about medicinal, but I know that California is the big place. They just tried to pass that law, and it was voted down. Mm-hmm. So, we're here now. We want Flip to tell us a little story about Amsterdam. And so there, it's pot, or all drugs. I don't know the story. You're going to tell us all drugs legal in Amsterdam?
No. I mean, obviously, heroin is, like, terrible. And, it's, you know, and just imagine that nobody bothers you as long as you are not carrying anything that's obvious with intent to sell. They'd leave you alone. The real sort of problem is that you know, heroin came into Amsterdam in the late 60s, which was like, you know, the Black Plague, and it changed the whole infrastructure of the town.
Was it legal, heroin?
I don't know whether it was legal or not, but
right
away Holland, with its social system, immediately sort of reacted, and you know, you got treatment available right away if you wanted it.
Right.
But you know, Amsterdam right now, everybody thinks it's, you know, illegal and free, but it's basically a huge industry in Amsterdam. It's like the biggest tourist industry. It's not, aside from the Van Gogh Museum and
tulips
and art.
Mm-hmm.
People go to Amsterdam to get high, or to visit or see the red light district. It's a huge revenue.
Uh-huh.
It's gigantic.
I wonder how much revenue they actually make from that industry.
Considering that, you know, they're all compartmentalized. I mean, the prostitution is a very different
owners
and that run it than the weed.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And it suffers from the same things as we're suffering here. I mean, about a couple of months ago, someone in Holland got a big fine in a marijuana bar for smoking a cigarette.
Seriously?
Yes. Yeah.
That seems counterintuitive, but okay.
No, but the anti-smoking thing has funnily caught enough to on in Great Britain and in Holland, which to me is incomprehensible, because all my friends in Holland seem to be chain smokers.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they passed that through, but...
Well, that's the same concept in New York. They never thought that New York was going to be able to get smoking out of the bars, but they successfully did it. It was a, you know, an uphill battle, but they did it. And by the way, there was, from what my research says, that the carcinogens from tobacco are greater than the
carcinogens than marijuana.
Yes.
Well, I think it's the chemicals that they add to the cigarettes that make it actually worse than marijuana. But do you know exactly how the structure works and the taxing of these things? Or is the pricing, do you know any of the pricing?
Was it subject to sales tax?
I assume it would be a sales tax then, you know?
Let him tell us.
Do you know?
I don't know, because I don't deal in drugs.
So you don't go there and get high yourself there, Flip, is what you're saying?
No, because, you know, I'm
you're a guitar player.
I'm a guitar.
You're a musician
maker
who doesn't do drugs. Oh, come on now.
My biggest, my customers, I get really expensive instruments to restore.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought to me that I'd do something wrong to them because I was either drinking wine or being on some, you know, sort of intoxicant is, you know, that's unacceptable.
Oh, no, I'm not saying while you're working, which I think will be an issue if they do legalize.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things that you have to understand for me as a foreigner is to hear If I get stopped on the New Jersey Turnpike with a friend of mine who's smoking a joint and I got caught, I mean...
You could go to jail.
I could go to jail. Mm-hmm. I got a green card. I mean, the laws here are so draconian. The yes. Rockefeller laws are draconian.
Right. Oh, those are horrible.
Right. And it's,
but it's like that in a lot of states.
And now they're even, you know, they're trying to lower the strength, allowable strength of medicinal marijuana,
uh-huh.
which means that people have to smoke 8 times as much of it to get the same... You know,
high.
Not high, or the medicinal effect,
the relief, less pain.
Right.
And yeah, it's really awful.
I think that brings up a good point, the Rockefeller laws that he was talking about, like how if we do legalize it to a certain point, the marijuana, it would relieve a lot of the strain on our Department of Corrections
and
all these things, which are a huge drain on our
system. Let me give you some numbers. According to the National Drug Control Office out of Washington, Americans spend $64 billion a year on illegal drugs. Now, that's a number that someone can only estimate because...
You have no idea.
Right. The numbers are only estimated based upon the amount of people that admit to doing drugs and how much they smoke, and they extrapolate those numbers. But $64 billion, give or take $10 or $15
billion. All illegal substances or just marijuana? It's
illegal drugs.
Okay.
Don't know. Marijuana already is the top cash crop in a dozen states in America.
Makes sense.
And it's in the top 5 cash crops in 39 states. The annual value of marijuana in the United States is $36 billion. So I guess the other number, $64 billion, is all illegal drugs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just pot is half of that. And they say that about more than half of the drugs consumed in America, illegal drugs, is pot. So, relatively safe drug, not much
relatively.
Different.
I think it's safer than drinking.
It could be. You know, there's a lot of difference of opinions out there. According to a Harvard economist, if you end the illegal part of it, the pot prohibition pot prohibition, it could save $7.7 billion a year in state and federal enforcement costs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, while generating $6 billion a year if it was taxed
mm-hmm.
at the same rate that alcohol and tobacco is taxed today.
Mm-hmm.
And drug lords today could, in, say, 50 years, become the next president. Do you know that Ernest and Julio Gallo sold wine to Al Capone? So there's a lot of room for entrepreneurship in that industry.
Uh-huh.
I really believe that if you legalize the pot, you can certainly get some very smart entrepreneurs out of that industry.
I love how you call it the pot.
Well, I'm sorry, the pot. So legalized pot, I should say. There's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit, and the people would be happy to be in that industry.
Think about that. Like, if that's nationwide, that's $13 billion going back into the pot, into the overall...
economy.
Like, not even the economy, just going back into state coffers.
That's right.
State and federal coffers. That's a ridiculous amount of money.
So,
and I think it would be even higher than that, depending on the tax rates and things of that nature, how they distribute these things, the capital.
It's a lot out there that's possible.
It's an amazing thing, and it's not even that detrimental to society, you know?
Some of the things that have to be considered, you have to deal with the addictions.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people out there that said it would create more addictive addicts.
Marijuana is not an addictive
drug. That's a stepping stone to hard drugs.
Any drug is a stepping stone then.
I think they could take some of the money that they spend on policing it and put it into rehabs and helping those people. A percentage of the population is addictive behavior anyway. Whether it's gambling, it's drugs, it's shopping, it's food, it's whatever it is. There's going to be addictions, and whether it's legal or illegal, I think that addiction is not going to... The population is going to stay the same, that percentage. Okay. Prescription pills are legal.
Well, there's a black market
pills,
for that.
And there's a population that abuses that. It's going to be the same thing if they have pot, right?
It depends on the system that they put in place to actually distribute the drug. You know,
do they have that ability in Amsterdam to buy prescription drugs over the counter, as opposed to here we have to get a doctor's prescription?
No, you have to get a prescription.
Same thing.
Yeah, but
those
are
harder drugs.
The that's a whole different kind of.
No, it's not. It's just pot and hash is the one you could just go to a store and buy it like a cigarette.
Well, no, in Amsterdam or most places in Holland, weed and hashish are being distributed in what they call coffee shops, right, where you can sit down and smoke it, and you can have coffee.
It's an extension of
the traditional idea of what Dutch bars were, which was such a trouble when I came over here and I found out that bars here are not living rooms. In Holland, bars are living rooms. You can go into any bar where they sell alcohol and there'll be like food, tea, coffee, all kinds of stuff. Here, you may maybe get a couple of peanuts and you have to drink. That's it. And yeah, so there's a much more social function. So the coffee bar, what they call a coffee bar in Holland, that's where you go and buy it. And
you buy a
joint.
You
can go in there. You can sit there. You can buy a whole variety of hashish and kind of weed. And to my amazement, you can't even smoke a cigarette in there, which to me is, you know, kind of the effect on like how... you know, the global hypocrisy, which is being fueled by American conservatism,
right,
is really it's coming across in Holland, some of that stuff.
Really?
Whereas you have to understand, like, if you go to a lot of Dutch people that Dutch people considered, like, you know, really seriously conservative and like a reactionary and fanatics, you know, we said just please go away, and they went to the Midwest and they went to Canada, and that's where they're now.
Right.
You sent your Puritans to us, didn't you? Isn't that the
they didn't come from the Netherlands.
No, but I mean
they can't, but they're
some
still
of the serious,
they're leaving the country.
Some of the serious conservative nutballs, actually, if you go to Michigan, you'll find them, they got Dutch names.
Yeah.
You know, we're very glad to get rid of them.
But, thank you, Netherlands. Okay, we're going to take a minute break now, and as I mentioned early in the show, Flip is an incredible guitar man. He's going to play us a tune for the next minute or so. And you want to tell us what you're playing today, Flip?
It's a little waltz from an old record called Into the Purple Valley, and it's a song called Great Dreams from Heaven.
Okay, well, let's hear it. Thank you, Flip. We are listening to Flash Talks Cash on the HeritageRadioNetwork.com, where you can call us and talk to us about legalizing pot.
That number is 718-497-2128, 718-497-2128.
And Flip is here. He played us a tune that you can, I guess, get high by, or pay taxes by, or count your money by.
I think it fills a lot of
it
different...
It fills all of it. He's a multifaceted guest today.
I know. I like it.
We like it. Come back all the time. So we're going to wrap up this little segment on legalizing pot. I think it's a great idea. Oh, there is one controversial disadvantage about legalizing pot. Here is one. Studies show that the U.S. collects about $8 billion a year from alcohol. And the problem is the total cost to the U.S. in 2008 due to alcohol-related problems was $185 billion. And the government pays about 38% of that cost, about $72 billion, all due to alcohol consumption, according to the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. For every dollar the government collects in alcohol taxes, it expends about $9 for such things as Medicare and Medicaid treatment for alcohol-related health troubles, long-term rehab treatment, unemployment costs, and welfare.
Wait,
That's so, pretty controversial.
But that's alcohol.
Well, they're comparing alcohol will be
but
the same.
But marijuana is not even close to
well,
alcohol.
Well, that's what some people say.
Marijuana is not addictive.
Correct.
It's not inhibitive as much as drunk driving. You know.
Well, I don't think you can smoke pot and drive.
It's a non-violent drug. It's a non-violent drug. You don't have a lot of violence when people are high.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't recommend driving while high, but it is definitely better than driving while drunk.
I don't know. I don't know if it's better.
Personal experience saying.
we got a caller. We're going to take the caller, but I just want to tell you one very interesting thing I read today about prohibition. Did you know the issue of prohibition was highly controversial among the medical profession because alcohol was widely prescribed by physicians for therapeutic uses? It's very similar to the medicinal marijuana going on.
I use alcohol for therapy.
So do other people. All right, let's take the caller. Let's talk to you. Hello, you're on air.
Hi, Flash. How you doing?
Good. Who am I talking to?
This is Jake in Brooklyn.
Hi, Jake. You want to talk about legalizing pot?
I do. I just wanted to put my two cents in. You know, some people are like air traffic controllers or surgeons of the eyeballs, maybe, and they need to be focused all the time.
Straight.
I'm, you know, a musician and an audio engineer, and
I'm not be straight all the time.
I'm not currently working, and so, I mean, I don't feel like I'm breaking any laws by sitting here and, you know, watching this movie and et cetera.
Right. Well, I think that when you go to work, for the most part, most people don't drink, don't do drugs, you know, because they have to focus and do their job. It's really recreational use, the same way you would take a glass of wine. If you go to work and you're drunk, you could, you know, you're not doing your job. Maybe you're going to get fired. So if you're a surgeon, I think it's a good thing to lay off everything.
And there are stories where surgeons go in and they're drunk, you know. Just,
oh, that's terrible.
There's alcoholic doctors who go. Everyone, you know, an alcoholic's an alcoholic. If there's someone's addicted to something,
correct,
they think they can do everything while they're on their their high, whatever it is. Yeah. So it's just people need to learn how to control their urges and
Or just use it for recreational purposes. That's all we're promoting.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And pay your taxes associated with the illegal drugs.
It's even better because this way it's safer for people to acquire the drug. It's safer to use. You'll have better quality, things like that.
Thanks for calling. So I have a couple of little ideas about investing if they legalize pot. Okay, here's some opportunities for people who need to make some money on the legalized pot. If you're going to legalize pot, beer sales will fall. So short Anheuser-Busch, okay?
Why would beer sales fall?
Because more people will smoke pot, drink less beer.
That's not true at all.
The drug trafficking will fall. So short Smith & Wesson. They don't need it. There was not many as guns needed as anymore.
Is this supposed to be funny?
Prescription pills that reduce nausea and depression. Those prescriptions will fall because now we can smoke pot. And so short the pharmaceutical companies, okay? Cigarette companies, they should go up because they're going to now get in the business of commercializing
Who's
pot.
To say?
Well, I'm just giving you some ideas, okay? Of investments, making money off of this thing. We are Flash Talks Cash,
right?
But
so why do you think these industries are going to change so drastically?
They're going to change.
All of a sudden,
video games are going to go up because potheads love to play video games.
You are trying to be funny. This is awful.
Cable
this is like awful.
TV.
Just stop. Jack, play the music for
cable
something.
TV.
Do something right now.
Cable TV will go up because stoners love to watch TV.
Oh,
real estate should go up because more farmland will be dedicated to pot.
Is it fair to say all will rise with the high tide?
Yes, thank you, Jack.
And fast food restaurants sales will increase because they get the munchies. So there are opportunities to make money if they legalize pot. Okay, I gave you some good things that are going to happen, or some not so good things, but you still make money on
it. You are
okay.
Funny.
We're going to say thanks to Flip for talking to us about Amsterdam. I'm going to go to forensics. The forensic file, Flash is now going to tell you a little bit more about the morality of this country and how it affects us. And Andrew and Flip and Jack are going to tell me what they think about this. There was a case out there on March 19th. 9 people were charged with smuggling 120,000 pairs of Nike shoes and 500,000 Coach bags through Baltimore. The indictment resulted in a raid by U.S. Immigration and Customs, and a portion of the shipment was scheduled to be delivered to Brooklyn. 3 U.S. citizens, 4 Chinese citizens, and 2 Malaysians were charged with smuggling, trafficking of counterfeit goods, and money laundering. Counterfeit products discovered were Coach and Gucci shoes, Cartier watches, Viagra pills. Okay, so the products were produced in Malaysia and China. The payment for these products were made in cash and then wired to accounts in Asia, avoiding import duties. So, the question is, boys, you know a lot of people that buy those counterfeit things. See what's happening here? Do you support the black market? What do you feel about that? More black market stuff.
I don't know. I think people shouldn't be so obsessed with labels and names and things like
but
that.
But they are, and they support the illegal underground economy again, and they're bypassing a lot of U.S. revenue by doing this. Is that good?
Are you blaming the consumer?
Yeah, if there's no market for them, then they won't be smuggling it in.
But how do we know?
How do we know if this...
I'm on Knickerbocker Avenue, and I see some Nikes that look good. How am I to know?
Well, chances are
Jack, if you see some guy on the street selling you Nikes, yeah, they're probably not real, my
friend.
That should
be a first indication, Jack.
It's a store.
Well, if the store buys it, then the store is liable.
That's
something completely different.
But if you're buying it on Canal Street, and you know the guy came over to you at the red light and says, oh, you need a new pocketbook, you know, maybe that's a good indication it's illegal and counterfeit.
I think it's like a tradition for tourists.
It is. That's what they do. They go to Canal Street and they buy their stuff. I think it's the media that pushes these labels on people, telling them that these are the right things to wear, to buy, to own.
No.
Yes.
No, those guys.
You're herding the cattle into these products, and then the cattle can't afford the product, so now they have to reach out to these black markets.
That's retarded.
How is the counterfeiters, I say.
The counterfeiters, but the consumers are the ones who are buying the product. If there's no market for them,
there's enough blame to spread around here.
What do you think, Flip? Flip's our guest.
On a practical note, my favorite strings are made on Long Island by an old family. They've been making it for years, and they're basically the best-selling strings, you know, in the country.
Are you talking about guitar strings?
Yeah,
yeah.
D'Addario. Mm-hmm. And they've been battling this extremely problem, which is somebody in China or Malaysia is copying their strings really badly, but in perfect packaging, and they're showing up in all the major stores, and it's killing the business.
That's right.
And you know, this thing about, well, you know, obviously a deal is a deal. I think just on a very large scattershot level, I think the biggest problem that people here in America and Holland have is they all want to sit on the first row for a quarter.
Exactly.
And the whole problem about making anything good is that it will have to cost
more money.
But everybody, there's this destructive philosophy here. Well, it was a deal. Mm-hmm. Now, Dutch people come over here and they buy like a real fancy Prada glasses imitations on Broadway, and they get stopped at the border in Holland, and they have to pay by customs because they're enforcing it.
It's illegal.
It's really, I mean, if you want to have anything of an infrastructure in this country, you will have to have a small business and a bigger business industry that can make their stuff and being policed by the stuff, because you know, this stuff is coming in and it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the copy thing, and you know, but the underlying problem is that if you say, well, I got a deal, it's supposed to be an excuse. I'm sorry, as someone who makes something, you know, and I have to sweat hard for it, if someone comes over and sort of makes crappy stuff with my name on it, I want to see blood.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically, but the whole country here is thinking, well, it's my right to have something the best for the lowest prices, and that's why we have Walmart.
Right. I agree a bazillion percent. I believe that if the consumers stop buying it, the black market will have no customers. I was on the subway yesterday, and the guy is selling True Grit, the video, the DVD. He's selling Black Swan. These movies are still out in the movie theater. So
bootlegs.
Somebody went in, taped, shot the video while they were in the movies.
They're downloading hacked versions off the internet and just burning them onto DVDs.
You know, how is
movies
that,
are a big problem.
And that's just a little, and all of these things are counterfeit, and the people who are paying the cost of producing this and waiting for the money, earning the money back on this between royalties or, you know, selling their products.
These are two different industries you're talking about. Now, like going to the music and movies,
it's still a black market.
No, it's a different black market.
But it's a black market. Even if you sell, if you buy...
Counterfeiting, whereas bootlegging, are two different things. Like you're taking someone else's product and putting your name on a cheaper version of it and pounding it off.
If there was nobody on the subway yesterday who was willing to give that guy $5 for a DVD, that man will not be peddling it in 1 month. He would be out of business. And that's the whole point. The consumers have to say, it's illegal. This is illegal. You got to stop buying and supporting this market. That's what I think.
It's a recession.
No, it's been going on through boom years, bad years, all years. People, and Flip is telling you the right thing. Their mentality is, I want to get a deal. I want that name on my shirt. I want to see that video, but I don't want to pay the fair price for it. So the everybody pays because the guy who's selling it at a fair price has to keep raising his prices, and it stops the creative process because people don't want to be in business to see their stuff being ripped off in a very poor quality and them not making the money on their great ideas. I just think cheap stuff
always falls apart.
Yeah, it does.
Well, what just puzzles me at the most is why would anybody want to pay four times as much for the value just because it has
somebody's
the
name.
Logo on mm-hmm. it so you can be a free advertising post for a corporation.
Right.
I mean, our big problem is that we're being exploited to begin with. Why would you want... I mean, you can buy a really nice pair of leather boots for $100, but if it's this Harley Davidson on it, you'll pay $500 mm-hmm. for the same one, and you're being an advertising That's post right. for Harley Davidson. Right. Mm-hmm. And everyone who's on a Harley Davidson sort of says, I am a pioneer, I'm a free spirit. Yeah. No, you're just another sucker who's being a free advertising.
So this
post.
Goes back to my mass media guiding these people that's to right. purchase these things.
Yeah, but the black market's got to go. The customers have to.
There's a lot of different things, but I think people.
No. I think that corporate America is actually cashing in on those cattle, the mm-hmm. people who don't want to just follow. But the point is, you can't stop corporate America from trying to make money. They'll make money another way if people stop putting the Harley Davidson on their boots. But they have to stop.
How about this?
Supporting the
if
black market.
If these people
market.
Didn't buy these shirts with like a Prada shirt that's off Canal Street.
Yep.
What could they afford in the same price range? They buy something else that didn't say Prada on
That's
it.
That's right.
They buy like a regular white t-shirt.
That's right.
But you put Prada on it for an extra 50 cents.
Yep.
Makes them feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
So maybe, is Prada upset?
Maybe if everybody's getting high, there'll be less anxiety.
This is true too.
We're going to sign off now. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.